Well, crafting a budget for 27 countries stretching from Lapland to Lisbon is a fiddly process. So said The Economist last week. Well, fiddly is one way to describe it. There are many competing demands for the pot of money, and member states like Ireland are not able or willing to contribute any more. We're going to be discussing what is proposed, and I'm delighted to say I'm joined here this morning by farmer Dennis Drennan, president of the Irish Creamery Milk Suppliers Association, which represents farmers by lobbying at local, national and EU level. Karen Mannion, head of Forum Connemara, which is a local development company which delivers programmes on behalf of government departments, including the Rural Development Programme Leader, and in Galway by Ruth Hegarty, director of Food Policy Ireland, and a board member of Tullive Bio, a farm organisation which lobbies for healthy, affordable local food. Good morning, Ruth. Good morning, Karen. And good morning, Dennis. Before we speak, we want to have an overview of what is in the new proposals. So I spoke earlier with Bartosz Brzezinski, the Brussels reporter for the global news organisation Politico, and I asked him to explain the wider financial pressures facing the EU, beginning with the Ukraine war.
We have a war just across the border in Ukraine, still raging on. We have still kind of reverberating impact of what COVID has done to the economy. We have challenges like Donald Trump in the White House and the pressure he's been putting on trade partners across the world, not just Europe. Actors like China that is growing in influence. We now have priorities such as defense, competitiveness that have come to the fore for European politicians, for heads of governments, heads of states, and for heads of the European Union.
Can you talk a little bit about the size of the budget? The current one that we're in is about 1.2 trillion euro, and it's made up of contributions from member states of in and around 1% of gross national income. How big is the new proposed budget?
The European Commission President Ursula von der Leyen, when she unveiled this new budget, she announced this headline figure of 2 trillion euro, which on paper sounds significantly bigger than the current budget that runs until 2027, which is 1.2 trillion euros. However, one has to account for inflation that eats into the value of money. There is also a bit of a caveat to the current EU budget because we had COVID. And so the EU borrowed around 600 billion euro, and this money needs to be paid off. The pot of money isn't really growing, but the demands for what to do with this money are.
Can we go through the top line proposals when it comes to the common agricultural policy portion of the budget? What are the key changes?
So the key change is that the European Commission attempted to make it more targeted. And so the headline idea here is that the European Commission wants to target it towards farmers who actively contribute to food production, who actively produce goods that are sold in the market. It's about rewarding farmers who are actively farming. So not so much hobbyists, not so much people who have a side gig running a farm. We also have more targeted measures towards young farmers, some measures for female farmers. So there's an attempt to spend this money on a more limited amount of farmers, but actually in the Commission's language, farmers who actively farm. The big focus of this common agricultural policy is to make farming attractive for newcomers, young farmers, those who might inherit a farm or those who might purchase a farm. And that's where we see this cutoff for people over 65 years old. But essentially, the headline message from the Commission coming out is, don't look at the money being shrinking. Focus on the fact that we are doing this to ensure that farming remains an attractive economic activity.
And the other thing that they have suggested is to limit the maximum amount a farmer can receive to 100,000 euro.
That is an attempt that the Commission has been trying time and again. Big industrialized farms that can survive well without this public money are still benefiting from it and are still receiving it. And so there's a bit of a criticism where there are farmers who need it but don't receive enough of it. And there are farmers who are big enough and don't need it, who do receive the lion's share of it. And so the Commission is trying to create this idea of fairness.
I mean, the cap has been going since 1962, but in 2000, it saw a huge big change when the budget was effectively split between Pillar One, which are direct payments to farmers, and market measures like intervention, all of that paid using EU money. And then Pillar Two, which was for rural development, agri-environment schemes. This pillar was co-financed between the EU and the member state, in our case, obviously, Ireland. What they are now proposing is to fold these together into one pot. What is the thinking behind this?
Well, this was a big fight inside the commission leading up to this proposal. People in charge of the budget saying, wait a minute, this second pillar, rural development, actually still goes to the pockets of farmers. On paper, it suggests that a lot of this money is supposed to go to developing the rural communities, but in reality, it was going as top-ups to farmers. And so there was this idea to just get rid of it. But then there was pushback from the agricultural side. And so Agriculture Commissioner Christoph Hansen fought hard. And by the end, what the compromise that they've agreed on is to basically scrap the two-pillar structure, put a lot of that rural development money, that pillar two money, back into the pillar one. Commission officials are adamant. Forget the two-pillar structure. Forget the disappearance of the second pillar. Now there is no pillar one, pillar two. There's just a single common agricultural policy with money that can be co-financed by national governments. The argument is, don't also look at the amount of this budget, because that is just the minimum. That is just the floor.
It's hard not to be suspicious about the fact that really what this might be about is helping to divert farmers' anger away from Brussels as the problem and towards, in our case, Dublin as the problem. Because if the member states have more control over how they spend the money, more control over how they're shaping the payments, then they're the ones that the farmers can be angry with if things go wrong.
And that's kind of, yes, that's in Brussels, the protests that we saw a year ago, they still resonate inside the commission, directing their anger at Ursula von der Leyen, directing their anger at these nameless EU officials. Whereas now the argument can be, well, talk to your agriculture minister. He's the one who's deciding how much money you'll receive. And so direct your anger there.
And speaking of farmers' anger, I mean, your reporting includes the leader of the Copa Gujeka group, the farm lobby, said this proposal is a declaration of war. How has the farm lobby responded to the proposals, and what is their thinking behind their opposition?
Well, they've taken it as a slap in the face leading up to the European elections of June 2024. Farmers were put on a pedestal. Ursula von der Leyen in her speeches highlighted the strategic role that farmers play in providing food security for the European continent, how they feed Europe under a threat of war. And what farmers now feel they've received is a smaller share of money. For many farm lobbies in Brussels, the common agricultural policy dating back to the early 1960s is an essential element of the European project. And any attempt to touch that money, any attempt to restructure that money without consent from those groups is treated, as the leader of Copa Gujeka said, a declaration of war.
And how do you see these proposals from the point of view of the non-farming general public who pay into this pot of money, who want healthy, affordable food? We've seen massive food inflation in the last few years. Are they going to solve some of those big problems or not?
Right now, there is no sign of any thought behind that. It seems like a much bigger thought on the European Commission's mind was, let's preserve as much of that money as possible, given the pressures. Let's worry about what to do with that money later. For the past 5 years, there was a lot of talk in Brussels about the need to move to healthier diets, given the health challenges. Now the mantra seems to be, let's maintain as much of the status quo as possible.
Bartosz Brzezinski of Politico there with a bit of an overview of the proposals. 51551 for your texts.